coming next to the stage, a friend of the Nerdalogs. She just completed, I think, right, your PhD in chemistry, and she made part of her dissertation a comic book called Atomic Size Matters. This is Veronica Burns.
So I'm going to open with something that Ira Glass said, and I'll just paraphrase it because you all probably have read it on, like, Tumblr or Twitter or whatever. But it was the thing that he was talking about, that point in your life where you're on your way to becoming an expert or really good at something, and you are not good at it yet, but you have good taste. So you're just completely dissatisfied with everything that you're producing. And it's just a really frustrating moment. And it can cause a lot of stress on a person who's really on the right track, but is currently not, you know, achieving their greatest. And so this is my story of that moment in my journey to becoming a chemist. So I took a lot of college classes where they tell you exactly how to do an experiment. And an experiment should mean that you don't know the answer, but obviously, they're rolling it out like a recipe, like follow step one, step two, and they know what the answer is. So I always found those classes really frustrating because there was no mystery to solve. I was going to just be graded on how my answer matched their answer, which always seemed really stupid to me. So I went through a lot of those classes, and one of those classes was particularly memorable to me. It was this analytical class. Analytical chemistry. And on the first day, we got the syllabus, and it was going to be 3 hours of lecture a week and 10 hours of lab. So a lot of lab. And this class was one credit, by the way. It was horrible. So I do my experiment, and the method of presenting your results for the first experiment was an oral exam. So you go and you sit in the professor's office, and it's just one-on-one, and he asks you a bunch of questions. So I do my experiment, and I make a PowerPoint, because everything in academia is PowerPoint-based, for better or for worse. And then I go to my professor's office, and I have my laptop, sit down. And let me just tell you, this professor is a big guy. I'm not that tall myself, but he was very tall and a former bodybuilder. So he's just got that appearance of being like a giant wall of muscle, and that huge like trapezius thing where your head and your shoulders kind of just make a triangle, like the no neck thing. So that's the professor, and I'm sitting there across the table from him, and we have my laptop in between with the PowerPoint slides. And I'm, like, clicking through the PowerPoint and talking about my results, and he's asking me questions. And then all of a sudden, my throat tightens up, and I burst into tears. 5 minutes into the presentation, tears streaming down my face. It was, like, anxious, couldn't breathe, like, panic attack-style tears. And I didn't know what was happening at the time. I was terrified, like, crying, but didn't know why I was crying. And this intimidating situation elicited this weird reaction in me. And there we were, like, sitting with this laptop in between us. And he must have been really scared, too. Like, probably just as scared as I was, because a student is randomly crying in his office. But he had it together enough to ask me if I wanted to reschedule. So we did, and I came back, you know, I had like gone through my slides a couple of times, had a friend quiz me a few questions and whatever, and I came back to his office, and I was ready to go, ready to not cry, and I get into it, and I'm like getting through the data pretty well, and then I start crying again. Yeah, that was my feeling too. So I'm just like in tears again, but like I persisted through the rest of the presentation, and it went okay, I guess, as well as it could go. And then that was the first experiment, And then I had to do that 10 more times during the semester. And every single time, I cried and had a panic attack in front of this poor, poor man. So eventually, like after the third or fourth experiment, he like put out a box of Kleenex and like a bottle of water. And he was very nice about it, as nice as anyone could be. But I got through the whole semester, and I did okay in the class, I guess. And at the same time, you know, I'm going through my classes, but I also started to do independent research, and I was working on battery materials. I was making these new compounds that no one had ever made before, metal oxides, and I thought it was just the coolest thing. I was learning how to ask questions and how to answer those questions with like real data, and I had to put together a thesis, a senior thesis. And so the final defense of your senior thesis is to have your advisor read through your paper and then sit down with you and ask a bunch of questions. And unfortunately, my advisor was out of town at the time. He was on a long trip, and he wouldn't be back before graduation. But luckily, they got somebody to fill in. And it was my analytical professor. So I did the same thing, you know, I prepared and I like thought through what questions. I had a friend go through it with me and everything. And of course, like, I'm sitting in his office once again, across from the same big bodybuilder man. And he started asking me questions, and I got through it, and eventually it was over, and I didn't cry at all. I knew the research like the back of my hand. Like, I thought about this stuff so hard. It was mine, my baby, you know. I really felt some ownership over it. And I think that was the difference between all those oral exams and my thesis defense. And I discovered that, yeah, I have some fear and anxiety, but my love for discovery can help me overcome that. So, thanks.
Thank you, Veronica. What if I told you that professor is here right now? Let's pull back, but no, not true.